Devaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Reading today from Canto 4, Chapter 29. We're reading verse 1a. These are some special verses I'll explain in a minute. But because we've got a little bit out of order, we haven't read verse 85. I'm just going to read that verse in purport so it's included. And then we'll go on to chant the Sanskrit. This will just be by myself. Adhyatma paroksham idam mayadikatam adbhutam evam shriyashramak pungsash chinomutra tisangsayaha. Translation. The allegory of King Paranjan, described herein according to authority, was heard by me from my spiritual master, and it is full of spiritual knowledge. If one can understand the purpose of this allegory, he will certainly be relieved from the bodily concept and will certainly understand life after death. Although one may not understand what transmigration of the soul actually is, one can fully understand it by studying this narration. Purport. The word Striya, meaning along with the wife, is significant. The male and female living together constitute the sum and substance of material existence. The attraction between male and female in this material world is very strong. In all species of life, the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of existence. The same principle of intermingling is also in human society, but it is in a regulative form. Material existence means living together as male and female and being attracted by one another. However, when one fully understands spiritual life, his attraction for the opposite sex is completely vanquished. By sex attraction, one becomes overly attached to the material world. It is a hard knot within the heart. Pungsak shri amitoni bhava metam tayamito hridaya granti mahu ato griha shetra sutapta vithaya janasya mohang yang ahang mameti. Everyone comes to this material world attracted to sense gratification, and the hard knot of sense gratification is the attraction between male and female. By this attraction, one becomes overly attached to the material world in terms of griha, kshetra, sutta, apta, bita. That is, home, land, children, friends, money, and so forth. Thus one becomes entangled in the bodily conception of I and mine. However, if one understands the story of King Paranjana and understands how, by sexual attraction, Paranjan became a female in his next life, one will also understand the process of transmigration. A lot to be said there, but we're going to move on to the next verse, and perhaps we'll allude to this. There's a special note here which I'll read. Special note: according to Vijayadvaj Tirtha, who belongs to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, the first of the two verses appear after verse 45 of this chapter, and the remaining two verses appear after verse 79. So these are verses, there's some verses here, 1a and 2a, and 1b and 2b, so we'll be reading those. Obviously these verses are sometimes included and sometimes not included, so there's some different versions of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore these verses have a special numbering. I'll just read text 1a, for which we'll read that translation and the translation for 2a and the purport just for one verse. Sarvesham eva jantunam satatam dehaposhane asti pragya samayata ko visheshat tada rinam sarvesham eva jantunam satatang deha poshane asti pragya samayata ko visheshas tadan rinam sarvesham eva jantunam sarvesham all certainly sorry my mistake let me start again sarvesham all eva certainly jantunam of animals satatam always deha poshane to maintain the body asti there is pragya intelligence samayata resting on kaha what visheshaha difference tada then ninam of the human beings. Let me read the verse, next verse. Labvehante manushyat tvam hitva deha yasad griham atma shristya vaha yedam jivatma sa vishishyate. Translation of these two verses, 1a and 2a. A desire to maintain body, wife and children is also observed in animal society. The animals have full intelligence to manage such affairs. If a human being is simply advanced in this respect, what is the difference between him and an animal? One should be very careful to understand that this human life is attained after many, many births in the evolutionary process. A learned man who gives up the bodily conception of life, gross and subtle, will, by the enlightenment of spiritual knowledge, become a prominent individual spirit soul, as the Lord is also. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it, at the end? Will become a prominent individual spirit soul as is the Lord, as the Supreme Lord is also. Huh? In the sense that oh, as also the individual, yes. I think it's probably because it's starting discussing the soul. And though it says, it makes that point, but then points out also that the Lord is also a soul and an individual soul. Interesting. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that man is a rational animal. But from this verse we can also understand that rationality exists even in animal life. Unless there is rationality, how can an animal maintain its body by working so hard? That the animals are not rational is untrue. Their rationality, however, is not very advanced. In any case, we cannot deny them rationality. The point is that one should use one's reason to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that is the perfection of human life. A desire to maintain body, wife, and children is also observed in animal society. The animals have full intelligence to manage such affairs. If a human being is simply advanced in this respect, what is the difference between him and an animal? One should be very careful to understand that this human life is attained after many, many births in the evolutionary process. A learned man who gives up the bodily concept of life, both gross and subtle, will, by the enlightenment of spiritual knowledge, become a prominent individual spirit soul, as the Supreme Lord is also. Omagana timarandasa tanandana salaka chakshurumilitang jaina tasmai shi gurave namaha panchakalpaturubhista kripasindubhivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadha, Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, in the verse 85, somewhat criticizes family life, the attraction between male and female, but we see from the kirtan this morning that sometimes it produces some very good fruits. That's a fact. Srila Prabhupada in one lecture was criticizing. He said some people they condemn sex life, but where have they come from? Is there anyone who hasn't come here by that means? But it's interesting how Srila Prabhupada in very briefly overturns one common prevalent view of the world, prevalent today, that actually rationale is that which belongs to a human being and doesn't belong to the animals. I mean, that's quite a strong statement in the light of the prevalent view that actually we can differentiate ourselves as human beings by the fact that we've had this rationale or this reason. This is particularly prominent, of course, with the Enlightenment, when actually society was responding to the rather authoritarian approach taken by the church. And instead installed rationale on the throne of authority. And even today, if we look at modern education, then that rationale is given a very prominent position. If somehow or other we can teach others to use their common sense, to think, to perhaps learn some thinking skills, then automatically society will be benefited. We'll become a moral, peaceful society. Is that roughly what's going on today? What do you think? Is that a fair summary? That's generally the point of view. However, here, Srila Prabhupada's saying something else, because the animals are expert in those affairs of looking after the family. One can actually go on YouTube, if one goes on YouTube, and see that there are some examples somewhat recently of animals that do wonderful things. They had some pictures of some crows, not elevated even amongst the birds, who were using tools. They would use sticks to get something out of a bottle and so on. And they, of course, our esteemed commentators were liking this to our human beings also in the beginning, had simple tools. But we can actually see they have some intelligence, animals. They work things out for themselves, but it's all confined basically to this punkshakshi maitani bhavam, sensual gratification, somehow satisfying the senses, and therefore rationale, unless it's devoid of spirituality, is useless. If you look today at, particularly within education and other areas or other forums of social discussion, we'll see they discuss many of the values and the virtues that we also discuss or discussed in Shastra. But one is missing, and that is mind and sense control, Dhamma. Because actually without some kind of morality, one cannot be allowed to exercise free choice. And that's the difference. Of course, previously within the church, it was the idea of conscience, that we listen to our conscience. And there is an allusion to that in our own Shastra. Tatmanak prasantasya paramatma samahita shitoshna sukha dukeshu tatamana pamanayo. Does anyone know the translation to that verse? For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. So an indication here that actually one can attain some divine direction by controlling the mind. And without that control, one may be misled by one's rationale, so-called rationale. Don't we all have experience of that happening? We're actually convinced that I'm doing the right thing, but something happens that proves that actually we were wrong. That was the wrong course of action. I think we all probably have a few stories of where we were convinced that something was right, but it turned out to be wrong. And another interesting feature of human life is its ability to rationalize. We have that ability to rationalize whatever happens to us, somehow or other. I'm going to move on to discussing a little bit about controlling the mind. But just to tell you this story, I met one educator. He was an educational advisor, and we went up to York for a conference, and on the way back we were chatting, and he told me a very interesting story, that he had a friend who was a sociologist who went to study some cult. It wasn't the Hare Krishna movement. Some group, some what would be considered, we're often considered a cult or a sect. And this group had this interesting theory that the world was regrettably going to finish on one day at a particular hour. So he asked this small group if he could go along to be present at this momentous hour. So he went along and at the appointed date and time and was sitting with the group and was really interested to see how is this group going to receive, because I had the gentleman scholar suspected that this prediction wasn't true. So he was interested to see how they respond. And so they sat there and they were praying intensely and so on. And behold, the appointed hour was upon them. And behold, the appointed hour did pass. And behold, the morning came, and the dawn chorus came, and the birds were singing, and the world was still there. And they concluded, yes, it was going to happen, but by our prayers, God stopped it. Instead of reevaluating their concept, maybe we're wrong. Somehow or other they integrated it and within their worldview. And the human being therefore has this great capacity to actually assimilate whatever experience, to actually reinforce the idea, Ishvaro hang hang bogi, I am the Lord and Master of all I survey, and I am the enjoyer. To reinforce that idea. Srila Prabhupada here, it's interesting, he's throwing a bit of a spanner in the works to some of those theories, those world views. The idea that actually we're a rational, and the man is a rational animal, and therefore that rationale is not there in animals. But this requires to actually have real to use, Srila Prabhupada says, the point is that one should use one's reason to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that is the perfection of human life. The point is to use reason, to have that right to exercise reason, or to, for it to be effective, then there also has to be some morality in society. And that means to be morality, there must be some control of the mind and senses. I'd like to discuss how do we control the mind and senses, and probably get some feedback from you. I'm going to read out a list of ways of doing this. Jaiti Shishi Radha Gopinath. Yesterday we heard in Read After Mangalati that one way is, does anyone remember the way we heard yesterday? What, yesterday after Japa? Before Japa. Yes. Neglect. Yes. Neglect. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, there is one easy weapon with which the mind can be conquered, neglect. The mind is always telling us to do this or that, particularly with regard to sex life or the attraction between man and woman. It is very powerful. The mind is always telling us to do this or that. Therefore, we should be very expert in disobeying the mind's orders. Gradually, the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. I'll read that again. Gradually, the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. We could probably say that's the two souls we've just mentioned, the individual self and the supreme self. It is not that one should obey the orders of the mind. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that to control the mind, one should beat it with shoes many times just after awakening. Does anyone do this? And again before going to sleep. In this way one can control the mind. This is the instruction of all the Shastras. If one does not do so, one is doomed to follow the dictations of the mind. Adanta Gobir Tamishram. Thank you. Yeah. The mind can actually take us Tamishram to hell. That's a fact. We can see that. Those who become addicted to drugs or alcohol, they're pretty well finished, hopeless. It's a fact. If they could have controlled the mind, then they wouldn't be in that position. Srila Prabhupada gives another hint. Listen to this, because yesterday, after that reading, we had a bit of a discussion. One or two devotees were worried. They were saying, this neglect doesn't always work for me. And we had a discussion. And actually we came to the conclusion somewhat tentatively, because we were speculating, albeit on Shastra, that there are other ways also. And Srila Prabhupada says here, another bona fide process is to abide strictly to the orders of the spiritual master and engage in the Lord's service. So Srila Prabhupada is hinting here that there are more than one process. There are more than one processes. Yeah, there is more than one. Excuse me, my English. My mind is uncontrolled. There is more than one process. Let me read some of them that I've got here, and perhaps we can meditate on these, and if we'd like to add to them. I've got some quotes also, and if we've got time, we can read them, but we haven't got a lot of time. Neglect. Persistence and detachment. See what works for you. We have to, some degree of pragmatism is there. Don't try to become a pure devotee overnight. Huh? Already in the evening. Don't hate the world. Dukale amishashvitam. get enough sleep. These are not quotes, they're from me. I am sitting on this seat, so probably okay. But actually, I've tried to find some quotes to actually substantiate these. But they're drawn somewhat from my experience. But there are quotes as well, and I'll read some quotes. Get enough sleep. Be regulated and moderate in habit. Have a distinctive purpose in life. Let the mind wander over Krishna. Let the mind wander over Krishna, over Shastra. What could I cook for Krishna? I was actually thinking sometimes when we look at the altar, I notice that when we're singing Nisinga prayers, I try to meditate on Lord Nisinga. But even if we forget to do that, it doesn't really matter where we look, it's all good. So the mind can wander. We're allowed to do that. There's so much variety in the altar, right? You can stand absorbed for a long time. Make friends with the mind. I'll come back to that in a minute. Practice bringing it back. We may start thinking of verses in the Shastra that relate to these. Trust your intuition. We could discuss that as well. Be yourself. Engage with your material identity, even though it may be false, our condition. Sadness has a purpose. Don't be unhappy if you're not always blissful. Look after yourself. Don't neglect yourself. Be good company, for yourself included. You are not Vishnu Tattva, nor a Achyuta. We're not infallible. Decide which desires to ignore, satisfy, or dovetail. Some of us may say, well, we don't need to satisfy our desires, but there are real decisions we have to make. I'll come back to that. Preach to your mind and make him or her your first disciple. Why not? If our mind hasn't become a disciple, are we qualified to make others or to go and preach? Give the mind some rein. You know, rein for a horse. Not too tight, not too loose. That analogy is quoted in Shastra. Maintain long-term vision. Sense gratification is like salt. Do you know this quote by Srila Prabhupada? Yeah. By the way, the mode of goodness isn't kind of boiled rice and vegetables. That's not really the mode of goodness. Just to address a little bit of a misconception. Actually, the mode of goodness, food is very tasty. Balance. It's very satisfying. It has that nourishment. It invigorates. Gives satisfaction. Gives strength. Just one little side point. But sense gratification is like salt. If your food doesn't have any salt, it becomes tasteless. So we need a little bit of salt. However, too much salt, and it's immediately... We have experience. Yep. Don't resent being under the control of time and destiny. Don't resent being under the control of time and destiny. There is a quote there, I think. Watch out for, I'm trying to read this, self-derision. Derision. Deriding yourself is putting yourself down. Deriding yourself. I'm going to make a quote here. This is just another false designation. I'm so fallen. I'm this, I'm that, I'm terrible, I'm useless. Watch out, another false ego. If we want to, actually our real identity is I am the eternal servant of Krishna, full of bliss and knowledge. If we want to have an affirmation, look in the mirror in the morning and say, I am the eternal servant of Krishna, full of bliss and knowledge. Why not? That is our true identity. Seek the right association, even amongst devotees. Don't worry about the opinions of others. There's a story from the Tantra. Avoid overly negative people. Try to understand what is Krishna's plan. Increase our desire to please the spiritual master. You like that word? Have a little too much service. Try for something great. Don't try to empty the mind. You never know what will come to fill it up. Don't try and empty the mind. Don't try to become detached from everything. Srila Prabhupada says, I've got that quote, I don't have it with me. You try to become detached, you'll go mad. Listen to your spouse. Why not? Krishna may be speaking through your spouse. And if you don't listen, you may have a disturbed mind. That's really the point. Actually, when I got married, the priest told me, he said, when your spouse speaks, you should at least consider Krishna may be speaking to me. He particularly spoke to the husband, who was the groom, who was me, and said, you know, when your wife speaks, it may be Krishna speaking. Good advice. Our goal is not to have a peaceful mind, but to serve Krishna. And if my mind is agitated in that service, then so be it. Maybe that's not our prime business. Actually, I think I've said this before, when I was a young devotee, I'd been around a year or two, I went to see Harikesh Swami as he was then, and I said, my mind is always disturbed. And he said, what do you expect? He said, how do you think Arjuna was feeling on the battlefield? How do you think he felt when his crown was knocked off by Karna? There was one instance where actually Karna was shooting a particular astra that was very powerful. I forget the name of that astra. Huh? Nagara astra. Yeah. The snake? Snake. So actually it was lethal. And actually at that point, and once of course he had aimed. Oh, what happened? I'm trying to remember the story exactly. Yeah, anyway, Krishna pulled in the horses. We're talking about reins. He pulled it tight. And actually, as he did so, the horses drew up and the chariot went down at the front. And the arrow, which was aimed for the head of Arjuna, knocked off his crown. He said, how do you think he felt? Arjuna's mind was active. That's a fact. Watch out for the so-called good reasons to be disturbed. I mean, I've got every reason to be disturbed here. Because, I mean, we're trying to practice Krishna consciousness and just look at... Find out why your mind is disturbed. Is there a precedent in Shastra? Find out why your mind is disturbed. Sometimes you may need to find out. Srila Vyasadeva was disturbed and approached his spiritual master Narada, because he was, and then he found out the course that actually he had encouraged fruitive activities in the writing of the Vedic Shastra and not focused just on devotional service. Is that right? Yeah. Maintain a healthy sense of humor, an inclusive sense of humor, and be happy for the success and prosperity of others. I better present some quotes. And then we can take it. Oh, I have to be very quick. Let me give one or two here. Persistence and detachment. Lord Sri Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind. I think Nadia Bihari Prabhu well discussed that yesterday, how the hearing of those activities is so important. Also, don't become a pure devotee overnight or get concerned if we haven't achieved that. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 8, purport, Arjuna was a householder and a military general, and therefore it was better for him to remain as such and perform his religious duties as prescribed for the householder Kshatriya. Such activities gradually cleanse the heart of a mundane man and free him from the material contamination. Someone has done an analysis, I think it was Burijan or Brajibihari, of the number of times that the word gradually is used in the Bhagavad Gita. So spiritual life is a gradient. It may be a steep gradient rather than a shallow gradient. It doesn't mean it has to be very shallow, but there's no big jumps. It is a gradient, no quantum leaps. So therefore spiritual life is gradual, step by step. Let me see if I've got any other quotes and then we can have a little discussion. I haven't got one on surrendering here. On surrendering? Yeah, there is a quote, actually, you're right. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, surrender unto him utterly. Has anyone got a Gita? Huh? What verse is that? Oh yeah, that wasn't the verse I was thinking of. No, there's another verse, just prior to that. Where it says the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Surrender to him utterly, and by such surrender you will attain lasting peace. Have you got it there, Riddhi? Are you on database? There is a verse actually, that surrender to the Supreme Lord. Yeah. Yeah. We're giving up the ways of the world, if not the world. Because Arjuna didn't give up the world, he went and fought. But he surrendered completely to the will, thank you, of the Lord. Let me see if I can find that. I think it's before, it must be 50 something. Is it 55? Let me see, check it out. No, it's not 55. Yeah. I've got it. Tameva sharanam gacha sarva bhavena parta tat prasadat param shantim Stanam prapsisi shashvatam. O son of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Shantim, that word is used there, yeah. That is 62, yeah, verse 62. It follows the previous verse, which is well known. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are situated as on a machine made of the material energy. O son of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace in the supreme and eternal abode. Yeah, I mean, we can surrender immediately, but as we surrender, it usually takes time. Surrender usually means taking to that process. So actually, one of the big perhaps dangers, and we've kind of alluded to this, is thinking that by starting the process, I have arrived, I am already saved. In a sense, we are, but it will take time to actually go through that process, and that faith that somehow or other whatever is happening to me is part of that process and is for my benefit. That's another way of perhaps attaining some peace of mind, is trying to grasp this idea that actually whatever happens to me, suridam sarva bhutanam. One of the challenges I face, and this is a personal thing, is sometimes I don't see Krishna as my friend. I think, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? You know, somehow that my own personal view, but actually that is stated in the Gita, that Krishna is actually our friend. So therefore everything that happens to us is for our benefit. Comments, any other comments or questions? We have to move on. It's a big subject. Anyone got any other advice to control the mind? Sadhu Sangha, certainly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, actually, I think it was Tamil Krishna Goswami once said to Srila Prabhupada, I'm always thinking about management and money and these things. I can't fix my mind on Krishna. And he said, no, that's fine. That's what you should be thinking of. We should be fixed on our service, and therefore accepting responsibility is an important part of controlling the mind, even if it seems sometimes burdensome, and it will be. We explained yesterday, we were having a discussion how when Jayadrath was, Arjuna took that vow to kill Jayadrath. First he wanted to run away from the battle, and then Duryodhan told him, well, you can't really do that, you're a Kshatriya, but I'll protect you. So actually Arjuna, the forces were actually arrayed, the Kaurava forces were arrayed, and there were, Jayadrath was at the back. That army was 20 miles wide and 12 miles deep. And Jayadrath was at the back, and Arjuna had made a vow, I'm going to kill him or enter fire. And he had one day. That needs some thought. you know, and he had to make decisions. There was some exercise of it. At one point, his spiritual master, Drona, wanted to engage him. And of course, the Kshatriya rule is you actually have to accept a challenge. But on that instance, he said, my dear spiritual master, I will decline on this instance. and left to get the rest of the distance to reach him. He had to make some very difficult decisions. So spiritual life is like that. But if we have that long-term goal, then some of the small hurdles and even failures we have in spiritual life will not deter us, because we are fixed on that long-term goal. Very important to have that. And dealing with difficulties and failures is an important part of spiritual success. We haven't got time to deal with that, but I think all of us have, in regards to this subject, controlling the mind, we have success and failure. But I thought we'd discuss some of the processes whereby we can control the mind, and some of the strategies we have for doing that.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a good thing. You actually start to recognize what's going on, to see it. I mean, my own personal experience, I don't understand how Western philosophers think the self is the mind, because as soon as we start to chant Hare Krishna, I don't know about you, but don't you quickly recognize that the mind is different than the actual self? Yes or no? Yeah, immediately. Yeah. But if we go with it, if we flow with it, when it doesn't become conspicuous, but as soon as we try and control the mind, it quickly becomes clear how difficult it is to control the mind. It's like the raging wind. Anyway, if we want our mind to wander, or our mind is wandering, we can at least meditate on some of these points during the day. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Kaur Premanandi Haribol.